Fine. So, we're holding by the halal now. So the Rishimo and the Kav that came into the halal, which was basically the first Hakdama in order to create the Olamas, which would eventually be mislabish themselves onto that Kav. Because, like we said, all the worlds interconnect and they serve as Levushim, different garments, if you will, that engarb the Kav, which the Kav is wearing the Or Ein Sof Kavyachol. So basically, in the primus of everything is the Or Ein Sof, right? So like we said, this halal had to be circular. Right? We're not talking about before when it was just pure halal right after the Tzimtzum, but the shape where the Kav is in now, even though the Kav doesn't go down to the bottom, it's circular. And the reason for that being was that there had to be a shivoy, there had to be an equal level of representation of the Or Ein Sof surrounding every part of the halal, because if not, if there was only Or Ein Sof on top of it, or Or HaSovev on the bottom of it, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Or would be more present in different places, and we know we can't say such a thing, because Leisas Panimini, the Kedusha has to subsume everything, the Kedusha has to be everywhere, and therefore the measurement needed to be the most equal measurement, and that was a circle. So, after we have this Kav, is when we're going to begin to discuss the creation and the descent of the worlds. So Bederech Klal, and this is not going to be the shiur where we do this, I think next Chabur I'm going to make an entire sheet lining up everything that you need to know, all the different relative terms that all are based on the chiluk of the Shem Havaya, that things are going to be connected to Osiyud, things are going to be connected to Oshei, and so on. We're going to do that next Chabur Amir Tashem. But the Olamos that were created, generally we know Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, Nasiya, right? We know, or for short, Abiyah, which are the four Olamos. But before any of these Olamos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashpia, a certain entity, for the absence of any other term, which is called Adam Kadmon. Okay? Adam Kadmon, technically in translated English, is premortal man. But we're not talking about a person, God forbid. We're not talking about anything shayach to a person. We're speaking about the first Olam HaKoleles, that all the other Olamos are going to exist within it. Okay, Adam Kadmon is Kolel, the entire Halal.
Why is it called Adam Kadmon?
Adam Kadmon, it's the Lashon of the Zohar.
It sounds like it's talking about a person.
Right, so we'll get to that, and that's a major, major, major sugya about what exactly the Dimoy is, what exactly the connection is between the Adam HaTachton and the Adam HaElyon, because generally in Kabbalah we speak about the human being representing all the Olamos HaElyonos. And as opposed to our general assumption when embarking on these ideas, is that in order to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions are above, so Hashem created a hand for us, and we look at our hand, right? We'll look at our hand and say, okay, I have a hand, and my hand does such and such, and the Torah says Hashem has a hand, right? So now, if my hand down here does a certain thing, then that's what the hand above must do, even though we know it's a mashal, but we assume that our hand is the nimshal, our hand is the actual real idea, and that the mashal to our hand is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, kavyachol. That means that we look at our hand and assume that that's the action, and that's the action that Hashem does. Kabbalah and Machshava come to completely renege on that idea. It's the absolute opposite. There's such a thing as Hashem's hand. It's not a physical entity, it's a spiritual strength that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses that manifests within our world. That's called the Yad Hashem. In order for human beings, the Krutzei Chomer, the lowest level of the degradation of the Olamos, to understand what the Yad Hashem is, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a mashal in us. He created a mashal that we look at as a hand, and from the actions of our hand we could glean what the nimshal is, what the real essence of a hand is. So, as opposed to what we normally assume, that the human being is the mashal and the olamos ha'elyonim are the nimshal, in reality, the olamos ha'elyonim are the nimshal, and we're just the mashal. We're just the interpretation of what's going on up there. So the Adam HaTachton, it's the Tachlis HaBriya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Like we said yesterday, everything at this point on in creation is L'tzorech HaAdam, is in order to give him Bechira, is in order to give him some form of self-individualized recognition and cognition, to create a level of self-esteem, self-reliance, to think that we're doing things on our own. So in the realm of giving room for the Adam, which is the second reason the Arizal gives for creation of the world, right? So from that point, we're now beginning to understand the Shorash of the Adam. So the Shorash of the Adam in the Olamos HaElyonim, the first source, the DNA, right? The first place that Adam comes into being is Adam Kadmon. So the Adam HaTachton, us, we're just really a reflection of what takes place in the Olam HaElyon.
And that Adam HaElyon, Adam Kadmon, is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
No. No. Not at all. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Pashuk Ke B'tachlas HaPshitas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no... The Adam Kadmon is not... The Yad of the Adam Kadmon, God forbid, is not representing the Yad Hashem.
But when you say that our actual hand is a mushal of the actual...
Right, of the Yad Hashem. That's B'dar Klolos. That's B'dar Klolos. The Torah... I mean, it's not the Aryeh. The Torah says Yad Hashem. So what does it mean, Yad Hashem? So, B'darach Mashal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and this is based on a Shlom. I don't have the Makor right now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us an ability to glean from our Kalim what exactly the Shoresh of the Ruchnius of the Kalim are. Adam Kadmon is the first representation of the Adam HaTachton. It's not the Shoresh of the Adam HaTachton, it's the first representation of the Tachlis HaBriya. Like we say, Soif Ma'aseh B'machshav HaTchila. The Soif Ma'aseh of Briya Sa'olam is to give room for the Adam. So, B'maisa T'chila is Adam Kadmon. That's the first aspect of Maisa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the world. That's already B'gether Mashal. The Adam Kadmon is just a much, much, much higher level of a Mashal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Nimshal HaPasha, right? Adam Kadmon is not the Nimshal to us as a Mashal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So Adam Kadmon is just really an intermediary stage. It's referred to as the Emsai between Ein Sof and all the Olamos HaNevraim. Okay, so the Adam Kadmon... And we'll focus a lot more on that concept. Yeah, that's good. But the Adam Kadmon really is placed within the Halal and it subsumes the entire Halal. It surrounds the Kav, okay? It garbs the Kav. And they're even Mekubalim because of such a lofty place that we're speaking in right now, they'll only say Ak. And we'll refer to it as Ak also. It's written in all the Sfarim as Aleph, Chuk Chuk Kuf. Yeah? Because it's such a lofty level, we shouldn't even use that those Lashonos. Not all Mekubalim agree with that, because obviously we're not speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the name itself shouldn't carry with it any level of Kedusha.
Wait, you said Adam Kadmon is Sovev and Makif the Halal?
No, it surrounds the Kav in the Halal.
And it
fills the entire space of the Halal. Right? The Halal was the place, and this already is becoming... This is going to become more detail-oriented, and I'm going to do my best to be masbir as best and clear as I can. So now we have the Halal and the Kav, and then Adam Kadmon comes, it garbs the Kav, which has the Or Ein Sof, Team Yuso, and that Adam Kadmon fulfills that entire Halal. So right now, in that Halal, we have this concept of Adam Kadmon, L'chol HaKadumim, like the Zohar says. Okay, and within that Adam Kadmon, and garbing that Adam Kadmon, are going to be all the other Olamos that we're used to, like Atzilus and Bria and Yitzira and Asiya. Because just like Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, Nasiya, Beklalus represent worlds that are lower compared to Adam Kadmon, so too each one of those Beprat is going to garb Adam Kadmon, meaning the clothing of Adam Kadmon from the bottom half of it down is going to be Olam HaAtzilus. The clothing of Olam HaAtzilus is going to be the Olam HaBria. The clothing of Olam HaBria is Olam HaYitzira, and the clothing of Olam HaYitzira is Olam HaAsiya. Nimtza, that even Olam HaAsiya, which is the most external of the Olamos, has within it the Kav Ein Sof that's surrounded by the Adam Kadmon, that's surrounded by Atzilus, that's surrounded by Bria, that's surrounded by Asiya. It's really like those dolls, those Russian dolls that we spoke about. This Adam Kadmon is on such a lofty level, the Arizal says, that we can't really speak about it. We can't really go into detailed explanations of what exactly is taking place within it. All we know is that there's a concept of ten spheros, which is also what we'll really get into in the next Kabura, exactly what the spheros are, exactly what the partsufim are, and just probably a chazar for everyone about what the Esther spheros are and their functions. But within this Adam Kadmon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashpia, his interconnection to the world, the methods that he uses, the kalim that he uses, so to speak, to connect with the world, and those are what we know as spheros, okay? The first stage of spheros in Adam Kadmon, right, they're called the spheros ha-igulim, okay? Within this Adam Kadmon, from the Kav, okay, when the Kav comes in, it circles, right? It becomes circles, interconnecting circles. The mashal the Arizal gives is gadle b'tzalim, like the layers of an onion. Okay, so now we have this Halal, and we have the Adam Kadmon, and Adam Kadmon itself is really made up of 10 spheros, like any other world is. So we have the spheros of Adam Kadmon, which are subsuming this entire halal. Okay, the first level of spheros that came into existence are the Igulim. Afterwards, in the middle of the Igulim, came the Yoshar. Okay, so that's what we're going to be focusing on in this Chaburah, the concept of Igulim and Yoshar. So just for the sake of brevity and for the sake of Chazara, we have the Tzimtzum, and then there's a Halal that has a Rishimo in it. Into that Rishimo comes the Kav Ein Sof, the Kav Hashem returning his Or Ein Sof back into the world to connect to the Nevraim again. Surrounding that Kav are the Spheros of Adam Kadmon, which will hold within them all the other Olamos. So right now we're by the Spheros of Adam Kadmon. So when the Spheros of Adam Kadmon came into existence, at first they had to be circular, and then basically imagine 10 concentric circles. Inside the innermost circle is where you're going to have smaller lines, which is going to be the normal image that we have of the 10 spheros. That's called the Spheros HaYoshar, the hierarchy of the spheros with lines and rays where there's a left, a middle, and a right, which is very, very fundamental, but we're not speaking about Yoshar yet. First, we want to speak about the Igulim. The reason that the first stage of Spheros, the first stage of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Or into this world through vessels, was Igulim, is simple. It's because just like the Halal was Igul, just like we said that the Halal had to be a circular vacated space in order for there to be a complete equal amount of Or Ein Sof that's surrounding it, right? Like an Os Samech, Sovev, it starts with Samech. The first Samech in the Torah is from the Lashon of Sovev, Rav Tzadok points out, and the real Shoresh of something is the first time it appears in the Torah. So the rivers that are described in Maaseh Bereishis, that the Lashon of Sovev, so we see that the real concept of the Samech is Sovev. That's because the Samech has the quality of being circular. So the concept of the circle is the quality of surrounding light. Okay, so because the Halal had to be equal amounts of surrounding light, the content that filled that Halal HaPanoi had to be Igulim also, to kind of shape exactly the vessel that it was in. Just like when we pour water into a vessel, it takes the shape of whatever the vessel is. If it's a triangle, if it's a spiral, whatever it is, the water manifests itself as that Kli. So too, the Kli of the Halal created this manifestation of Igulim. The level of Igulim, the Esher Spheros of Igulim, which again is basically the biggest circle is going to be the Keser. The next circle is going to be... You're with me, Chris?
Yeah, just one. Yeah. So every single point on each of the Igulim is equidistant from the Or Ein Sof around the Chal.
On the first Igul. That's going to be the Igul of the Keser.
That's the same is true for everyone going in, right? Meaning every point on each individual circle, meaning like, so you have the Keser circle and then within it...
The Chachma circle.
Okay,
and
so
the
every
circle.
Point on the Chachma circle is also equidistant from the...
The spheros go farther inwards? Than the Keser circle.
Correct, but that's why...
Why did the spheros go inward? Until now we've been saying that the further outward from the Orient Self, the further...
So this is what we spoke about yesterday. That by the... Because when you're talking about Igulim, imagine 10 concentric circles, right? The most outermost circle is going to be the closest to the Or HaSovev. It's the closest to the edge of the Halal. It's the closest to that Or Ein Sof that was beforehand. When you go to the innermost circle, which is going to be the circle of Malchus, that's going to be the farthest. That's going to have 9 separating circles separating it from the Or Ein Sof.
That's lowest.
That's going to be the lowest.
But it's the closest to the Kav, though.
It's closest to the...
I was going to ask about the Kav. How does that work?
I have to gather my kohos to answer that properly, as to why the innermost circle is not going to be the highest compared to the Kav. But we'll come back to it. It's a very legitimate question, and I'm forced to bring it up. But I don't have the kelim to answer right now. I just don't have the information necessary. But we'll come back to the question, Bezrat Hashem. We can continue without it.
And just going backwards a point, how did we get to the spheros all of a sudden? How do we just jump to
the transition? Because we're not... Spheros are not here yet. By Adam Kadmon, we're speaking about Adam Kadmon. What spheros are kelim, are vessels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to manifest his Or and to create what we know as Nevra'im. The spheros are the different sinorim that the Or comes down from. So Sphira is basically, we're not talking about the Spheros of Olam HaAtzilus where we actually can grasp them and they manifest themselves. it's very important when learning these original stages of Bria to not forget, but to remove from your mind what we know about Spheros in general. We're not talking about Ratzon and Chachma and the Koach of Bina and Ava. We're talking about 10 different Sinorim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put as the blueprints of the Giloy of Ora into this world. So once there's Nivraim, there's the concept of Spheros. And the first world is Adam Kadmon, so there's Spheros of Adam Kadmon. And even though we're not speaking, the real place that we're going to be speaking about Spheros as we generally know them is Olam HaAtzilus, but we're not there yet. But these 10 ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Mamayit Ta'or, Spheros or Kelim, the whole process that we're going to be discussing until the end of all the Chaburos, all these different Shlavim, all these different points, is just a different way of being Mamayit Ta'or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order that the Nivran could be Makabelit and still maintain a sense of individuation and not be nullified from the Rov Ha'or that's being Mashbiyat to them. Okay, so that's really the first, that's why Spheros are coming up over here. So, again, we're dealing in the world of Adam Kadmon, and these are the Spheros of Adam Kadmon. It also applies by any world. Any world is made up of 10 Spheros, and in any world there's going to be 10 Spheros of Igulim and then 10 Spheros of Yoshar. But right now, the Arisa only is Masbirit by Adam Kadmon, because as you'll see, the Ari says, we never talk about Igulim. Rashbi wasn't talking about Igulim, the Zohar wasn't talking about Igulim, and the Arizal is Avada not talking about Igulim, because we have no Shaychus to Igulim. Our main functioning, our main experience as human beings who operate based on a hierarchy of Chesed, Din, and Rachamim, Schar and Onesh, higher and upper, Mashpia, Makabel, Zachar, and Nakeva, is all based on Yashrus, is all based on the concept of the Spheros of Yoshar. The Spheros of Igulim are an immature and previous state of existence before the coming into being of the Spheros of the Yoshar. But they're still a primary force in existence because they came first. The Spheros HaYigulim came first because that's the nature of the Halal. They needed to be equidistant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kavyachal setting up a foundation, the fundamental first Yesod, the underlining theme, meaning the Halal was a tabula rasa, right? It was a blank slate. And the first thing that was engraved onto that blank slate, which will always be there, even though it's covered by a myriad of different layers, is the Olam HaYigulim. So even though we're not necessarily dealing with it on a day-to-day functional level in Olam Hazah of the Shis Alfei Shana of the 6,000 millennia, at the same point it's always there, and it's the first primordial and immature state of creation. Okay, these Igulim, and it's really interesting, there's a Ran in Nedarim, on Daf Lamed Zayin, and this is brought in Svarim, quoting Yerushalmi, that says, in their Metzias, I don't know what it means scientifically, I don't know what it means ecologically, but in its Metzias, the Ran says, all of Bria is an Igul. Everything in Bria is circular. And I actually had, it's interesting, I had a kid who I dealt with in social work this year, like a third grader, who he's on the spectrum for autism, but he came to me very excited once, and he said, "Do you know that there are no sharp lines in the world?"
Yeah,
I said, "What do you mean?" And he drew for me a corner. He drew two lines, two interconnecting lines, and then he said, "Now magnify." And he drew it closer, and he said, "Now magnify more." And drew it closer and closer and closer until basically all you have is a dot. And a dot is nothing but a circle. I don't know if this is the theory that it is, but he was. I don't know what his point was, but to me that was like a little bit of a remez that. In reality, this could be shot in that run, that everything in its shoresh is an igul.
Maybe it has something to do with the atoms. Definitely.
I don't know what the run meant. I don't know what the run meant. But it's definitely interesting that the previous immature state of Bria is this concept of igulim. Now, Rizal compares igulim to the nefesh and Yoshar to the ruach. And we didn't get up to the differentiation of the five levels of the Neshama, the Ruach, the Nefesh, and then the Chayin Yechida. We're going to discuss that next Chaburah when we have all the analogies and all the synonyms and the different phrases and the relative phrases. But just for our purposes, the Nefesh represents the physical chiyus that a human being has. It represents the physical properties that we have. It represents our digestive tract, our endocrine system, our respiratory system, our pulmonary system. And the ruach represents already the emotional tenets of a person, his emotional capacities. It represents his temperament. It represents different moods that he is more inclined to. While the neshama represents the intellectual level, the neshama shebamochi, it represents the intellectual ability for a person to understand and to connect to things. While the chai and the yechida represents surrounding lights, which don't necessarily have their place within the person himself, but they really serve as super consciousness and will. Okay, that's just a very, very basic understanding. But for now, what we're referring to is just the nefesh and the ruach. Those are the two most fundamental kochos in the neshama. The Arizal says that the gulim is the nefesh, and the ruach is the yosher. So first we'll discuss igulim and its connection to nefesh. Because like we said, the igulim are the immature state of bria. Right, it's the first immature representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Sviros, where there's absolute equality, where there's an absolute bittel of hierarchy, because every point in the circle is equidistant to the middle point, and the igulim are all shayach to the aura that's surrounding it. So too with the nefesh. The nefesh represents the physical properties of the human being. Everybody is equal when it comes to their nefesh. A person, when he's born, has his nefesh. When he's bar mitzvah, he gets his ruach. And when he's married, he gets his neshama, and so on. That's what the Arizal writes all about in Shar HaGugulim, which hopefully, if we continue this for 100 years, we'll get to there. But the nefesh is there at birth. Everybody is equal when it comes to the nefesh. There's no human being in the world who's distinct from another human being when it comes to the basic fundamental properties of their biological existence. There may be discrepancies and there may be differences that are either unnatural or due to secondary causes, but as the absolute reality of the biological processes, all human beings are equal. We all digest our food, we all breathe air, and that's the nefesh. That's the first representation of chiyas. It's there at birth, and it's the first giloy after birth. Just like the igulim is the first giloy after the tzimtzum, the nefesh is the first giloy after birth. And just like everybody's equal in their nefesh, and on the level of nefesh, we're no different than all the nations of the world, and we're no different than women, and we're no different than anything. We're all equal. There's absolute equality. So too, the level of igulim is a representation of absolute equality. And just like the nefesh represents physicality and represents koach ha'achila and how we interact with our physical needs, so too the Sfarim say, especially Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver in Pisrei Sha'arim and the Leshem in Sefer HaBiurim, the igulim represent tateva. The igulim represent the nature of reality. It represents the basic nature of how things exist on a day-to-day level of the changing of the four seasons, which is a chok nasan v'lo yavor, that's unchanging. It's a basic premise that was put into existence that's unchanging. It's not the laws of cause and effect of maisa mitzvos are not applicable to that. That's in the level of nisim. Level of nisim is corresponding to the level of yoshar, where there's a hierarchy, where a Kaddish Baruch Hu could choose to be mishaber the ma'arachos, where he could choose to break through the limitations of nature. But on its most basic level, the childish, if you will, or the immature functioning of the world is the level of nefesh, it's the level of teva, it's the level of how nature represents itself unchangingly from year after year, generation to generation. It's always equal. Okay? With me? That's igulim.
So on that level, igulim are still shy, like they're still shy up in our lives, almost like in the most
perfected state, utopian.
Yeah, but I'm saying also like in the most mundane aspect of the world, it seems to be what you're referring to as igulim.
So,
I mean, I'm just saying, to me, it was surprising when you made the transition from igulim being just counterintuitive, it's not a problem. I'm saying that from the igulim being like this totally beyond state of being, as being like even before we're getting to like the olamos, which are even that higher than this, like all this stuff that you would think is like the craziest beyond, and all of a sudden now we're talking about is that actually being the aspects of the world that are most readily accessible and like most.
So it's a double-edged sword, because from the coming into being of existence, it's the first stage, which also means it's the most immature stage, right? When the purpose of existence, which is we'll discuss also, is for everything to come down, the proper levels of Hagdara, the Hishtashlis, the Or Yashar that comes from above to below, then eventually when we're working our way back up to the Shoresh of Tikkun, to the Shoresh of Yimos HaMashiach, to the eventual end of reality as we know it, It's not that we just continue going farther and farther. It's a U. We work our way down, and then eventually we curve and we work our way all the way back up. So in the level of tikkun, when the world elevates itself back up to previous states of reality, at the end, after we come back to our place in reality, our current status in reality, we'll elevate ourselves back up to the more immature level because it was there before us, and therefore igulim also represent a messianic concept, right? Igulim represent this complete equality, this complete utopian concept of no hierarchy, where the psukim represent that the reaper and the sower are going to meet and hug, meaning that there's no distinction as to the avoda of the two of them, where rebbeim are no longer going to teach students because each person has the das of Hashem. That's a shattering of our hierarchical system, which we know, where there's a higher and a lower point. And even though at the beginning of creation that represents an immature reality, where to a child there's no difference between good or bad, the child doesn't know how to protect himself from what's healthy for him and what's not healthy, and the parent who's already in the mind, in the Moichin de Gadlus and the Sheikhas of Yashrus, who has a concept of right, left, and wrong, and middle, and equating, and Shnei Ksuvim HaMachishim Zatzeh Ad Sheyav HaKasuv V'Shlishi Ve'Echir V'Neim, to the child, there's no difference between a bear and a dog. It's a very dangerous level of existence, it's an immature level of existence, but at the same point, the ideals and the idealism in that level of existence is very lofty. And Rav Tzadok, more than anybody else, we were speaking about this yesterday, speaks about the Igulim being a level of La'asid Lavo, and a very fundamental makor to look at, especially all Rov HaMeforshim and Parshas Korach, like we were talking about, that Korach wanted to bring this level of existence into being already, where there was no distinction between Levi and anyone else, or Cohen and anyone else. And that a talis that's kula tchelas should be parted from tzitzis, because tchelas represents the tachlis of the mitzvahs, the tachlis of the tzitzis. And the tzitzis represents the derech of getting to the tachlis. The tzitzis represent the 613 mitzvahs to get to the tachlis. But if the entire talis is tchelas, meaning everybody has their own tachlis, and everybody's shaykh to the same tachlis, then you should be putter from tzitzis. And a bias that's mali svarim, and someone who's completely connected to the Torah, should be putter from mezuzah. Doesn't have to have that added level of shmira that we experience on our day-to-day level of right and wrong and yashrus, and the olamos of yoshar. So that's a messianic ideal, but it's very dangerous to try and bring it about before it's roi. But Rav Tzadok mentions the Gemara at the end of Tainus of La'asid Lavo HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asas Mochol HaTzadikim Lu Yoshe B'neim B'gan Eden, that there will be a revelation La'asid Lavo, that every distance that we've perceived between ourselves and Kedusha and all the different levels that we felt have been blocking us, really were just according to our own personal perception, but in reality we were constantly ever equal with everybody else to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We revealed that everything that we did in our current day lives, which seems like there's a fondness and a closeness to Hashem, it will be revealed that we were all completely equal, like the Psukim say in Parshas Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Kulcham Hayom, right? Mishoa Veitzecha to the people who cut the wood, the highest to the lowest people are all equal in their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's only when we come back to the level of Igulim in the messianic state, right? So although it's a very immature level of existence, and right now, according to our method in the 6,000 millennia, where the tachlis is Yosha, where the tachlis is Schar and Onesh and Bechira, so then Igulim is not the purpose. Igulim is not a place of Schar and Onesh. Igulim is not a place of Bechira, and therefore it's immature, and it's not the tachlis of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. Agav, if you look in the Mor V'Shemesh, by Parshas Beshalach, if I'm not mistaken, there's a famous Torah about the dance of Miriam. We see an interesting thing by Shir HaSayam, that Moshe Rabbeinu sung and they danced, but it says Az Yashir. It said that in the future we'll finish our song. In the future we'll be able to complete our song. But Miriam and the women took the instruments, took the tambourines, right? And they danced a circle dance. It says that the women had the ability to dance a circle dance, because the women, according to the Orem V'Shemesh, had an ability intuitively to recognize that the tachlis of La'asid Lavo is the Bechina of the Igulim, is the representation of this complete equality and this manifestation of utopian equality between all the Nevroim, where everybody is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same level. And at that point, through their Bini Yaseira, through their higher level of intuition, they were able to perceive that there was an Or Chozer, there was a shining light of Yemos HaMashiach at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's why they were able to dance in circles. But there are Chlal, just like the Nefesh and the Ruach, representing Gulam and Yoshar, the Nefesh also represents the Nekeva, which we generally associate with the more physical attributes of the world, with the less proactive attributes of the world. But at the same point, just like the Igulim represent the Nefesh, the Igulim represent the Nekeva, which is really interesting, even in the physical manifestation of the signs of male and female. The signs of the woman have a circle, and the signs of the male have a sharp edge and a perforation coming out of it. It's just a current day manifestation that Nekevos and women are more rooted in the Nefesh, and they're more rooted in the Darga of Igulim. And that's why the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Nekeva tesoviv gever, right? It says, the men are going to dance and surround the men. Because the women, it's the concept of Eishes Chayel Ataras Baila. And this is an Agav, but...
So in most Mashiach, it will actually be women who are higher than men.
Well, we see a reverberation of that aura already in the present state of feminism. There's a really cool book written by Devorah Meisles, which
the
is
moon's
a...
Lost Light.
Which is the... Yeah, The Moon's Lost Light is an incredible, incredible book, which talks all about that feminism is really just a hakdama to messianic revelation. It's she wrote it anonymously. That's not her real name. She's a Beis Yaakov teacher, but she her rebbeim are legit. Her rebbeim are Rav Avram Sutton and Rav Moshe Schatz, and it's a really legit and awesome sefer speaking all about this idea. So that book is really all about that women have sheiches to the igulim because they have sheiches to the nefesh and because they have more of a sheiches to equality. But nevertheless, in our current state of the playing field of the 6,000 millennia. So really the Iker is the Yosha, and the Iker is the current representation that we have of hierarchies and Yamin, Smol, and Emsa. But these Igulim, right, so I hope that answers the question. Then on a certain level they're very immature, and they're the most basic functioning of our world, and it's the Teva and it's the Nefesh. At the same point they're a theoretical ideal, a utopian ideal of Mashiach and Shivui and the Machol and Tzadikim, and that's why they were before the Yosher. That's why they were level before the creation of Yashrus. The Leshem and Biurim writes that basically the Shoresh of all of existence come from the Sphiros, and in each particular world, for example, in Olam HaAsiyah, where there's a physical representation of the Kolchos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted into the world, there needs to be a representation of the Igulim, and there needs to be a representation of the Yosher. The representation of the Igulim is what the Leshem calls Eish Ruach Mayim and Afar, the more fundamental, kaliistic, general foundations of existence, while the Yosher represents Domim Sameach Hayim Medaber, the more individualized and distinct classes of existence. So... And that's applicable on each and every world. It's basically Kla versus Prat. Like Rav Kook, that's how Rav Kook really breaks down Igulim V'Yosher. He doesn't refer to it as Shivoi versus Pirat. He refers to it as Kla versus Prat. The Igulim have much more of a sheiches to Klalius, where each idea is equal to the main point of all the ideas, what they're coming to give across. No idea is more fundamental on the other idea. Each Prat is really Shav B'Shav, within the Klal HaGadol, Mashen came, when you come to the level of Pratiyos, then each Prat maintains its own individual existence, and each Prat is fighting against the other. So that's really what the Svarim write, the Ramchal, the Pisrei Sharm of Rivitzvei Zuchavar, and the Leshem, and Rav Kook, write about Igulim and Yoshar. The Arizal writes, and basically for this reason, that it's an immature state of creation. We're not talking about Igulim ever. We don't have sheiches to it. We're not going to be mafari at the spheros. We're not going to talk about a shvira and a tikkun there. We're not going to speak about the degradation of worlds and the process of the worlds coming into existence by Igulim. All we have to know is that they're there in each olam, even though right now we're talking about Adam Kadmon, right? Just so we know where we're holding. Right now all there is 10 concentric circles. But we're not talking about Igulim. Anything that we speak about in the Ksavim of the Arizal and in the Zohar HaKadosh is always referring to the representation of the Olamos Begeder Yashrus, Begeder Yosha, which is what we really experience through Torah and Mitzvahs and Tefillah and Judaism as a whole and the day-to-day existence of all humanity and everybody in the world really operate on the playing field of Yosha. Agav, I saw in Rav Pluger's Sefer Nezi Yosol and Chilak Gimel, I always thought this, but I saw it at Beferish, which was really fun. Rabbi Nachman talks about the Bechidna of the Bittul of Masu Matan being a Hiskaslis of Mashiach. That's why Mashiach will only come through Tzedakah, because right now on the economic playing field and the concepts of commercialism and commerce that we participate in, there's a very, very strong representation of hierarchy. There's supply and demand, there's the people who offer the ideas or the products, and they're the consumers who are getting the products. It's Mashmi and Makaba. And that's why there's masumatan. That's why there's monetary value to things, and that's why we have to participate in masumatan and go out to work and earn and receive payments for our actions, right? It's very much schar and onish related. But lasid lavo, there's a bitul of masumatan, Rabbi Nachman says. I don't have the exact Torah. I could text it to you guys later. But, and that's why tzedakah is a poel demyoni. It's a manifestation of us saying that even though we need to operate within the system of checks and balances, we need to operate within the system of commercialism, right, and economics. At the same point, by me giving tzedakah, I'm showing that even though I have this money in my rishus, I'm really showing that I have no shaykhus to this money. There's no reason why I should have this money aside more than that poor person on the street, because we're really equal, and we really both have the same exact shaykhus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why, to the creator of everything, so why should I have the money and him not have the money? So by me giving over my money, begeder tzedakah, Rabbi Nachman says, I'm really showing that there is no masu matan. The hierarchy that we perceive in the economic realm is really just a dimyon of the manifestation of the siros of Yosher. So lasalavo, when we elevate back to a stage of igulim, there's no more concept of commercialism. But Rav Kluger said, anything that comes before its time is very negative, and that's considered the zel umaseh. That's considered the negative aspect of the spiritual giloy, right? Zelu maseh asa lokim, like the pasuk in Kohelet says. Any giloy of kedusha needs to have a counteracting power of negativity in order for there to be a proper level of scales and measurements in the world. And Rav Kluger says, lo and behold, that is communism. Communism was this negative manifestation of the ratzon to bring igulim, to bring this bitul of masa matan into the world, of this concept of utopian equality, which obviously failed incredibly because it was all based on selfishness and it was all based on the leaders wanting to maintain everything for themselves. Obviously that's based on a fifth grade education of what communism was. You know, I don't really know what Marx wanted. But, at least according to what Rav Kluger was saying, that's really the zelu maseh of igulim. But that's really it for igulim. It's in every world. There are igulim of Adam Kadmon, and there are igulim of Olam HaTzilus, and there are igulim of Olam HaYitzira, and Bria, and Asiya. And when you look at the Svardish and the Kabbalah more in the technical kilkulim of the Bali Kabbalah, there's an Arichas Nifla about where these igulim are and where they interconnect with the Sviros of Yoshar. But for what we need to know is that there were igulim that came first. Okay?
I got this. Cool with that whole thing that stuck on Rabbi Nachman, because there's actually shitos in halacha, like the Ritva says this in Rosh Hashanah, and so it also says this in Mechav, and you didn't have the Ritva in Mechav, is that stuck is actually a mamaranim. Halachically, stuck is moved there at mamaranim. Right. It loves them before you give it to them.
That's very cool.
So that's mamish like.
It's very cool.
It's like it's really recognizing that. And also, because there's machlokas Yishonim of whether or not the concept of Amir Yassel of Ravah and Yisrael Yassel had you. By normal kinyanim, you have to actually do a ma'isa. But by hekdesh, you just Amir Yassel of Ravah, it's enough. And Meiri explains that that's because it's really Rishami, because the Hashem Ahara is Ravah. That really everything belongs to Hashem already. And then Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not by tztaka, is also Amir Yassel of Ravah, Yisrael Yassel had you by tztaka. By just saying it's enough for tztaka. Because the pasuk of fichas with tztaka. So that's you know, it's Mamish like that. So,
yeah, the Baal Tanya writes this in all his Rubik Kukul of the Igros in the back of Tanya, which are called Igros Kodesh, speak about the Tachlis and the importance of Tzedakah and being Geula and the Kavanos of what Tzedakah is. Tzedakah is not just a Chesed. Tzedakah is really, it should be, a spiritual Giloy of that. This is where Rav Shagar speaks about it a lot, about Tzedakah and the Bitul of Masu Matan. Because in Rabbi Nachman's time, and especially now, there's no Avod Zara greater than it's Elokei Kesef Elohei Zahav. It's gold and silver. It's the gods of commercialism and the gods of finance and the gods of this race and this hierarchy of rich versus poor and the systems that we create based on that. So Igulim, on a practical level, according to Rav Kluger, is a nullification of that. And that's what, at least according to Rav Kluger, communism was trying to bring about. So for Yoshar, within the innermost, everyone's good on igulim right now? Yeah? So just the Tachlis Chazara we have. We had Or Ein Sof, we have a Halal. We have the Rishimo. Then we have the Kav Ein Sof that's Mashpia into the Rishimo to be Mechaber back to it. And then within this Rishimo, within this Halal now, surrounding that Kav, are the Sphiros of Adam Kadmon. And the first Gila, the spheres of Adam Kadmon were the spheres of the Igulim. You good on time?
Yeah.
Okay. So inside the innermost eagle, inside the eagle of Malchus, the Adam Kadmon, which was the innermost eagle of these 10 Igulim that we spoke about, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about the second stage of Bria. He brings about the concept called Yoshar, the spheres of Yoshar. So Yoshar, in contradistinction to Igulim, is like we've been saying all along. It's measurements and it's difference and it's hierarchy versus complete equality. The real concept of Yoshar is Shlosh Akavim. And we're going to... The next Chibur is really going to be all about Yoshar because it's a really... it's basically the beginning of the meat of what the Arizal is going to be speaking about. But just Letzorech Hakdama, because I have to technically go in 7 minutes... the Yoshar is the original premise of the concept of a human being. The whole, like we were speaking about before, Lamala Lamala by Adam Kadmon is supposed to be the Shoresh HaElyon of what a human being is going to be. And just like a human being, on a lower level, right? Mibasri Echza Elokim. From my physical flesh, I should grasp the higher concepts. And there's nothing in this lower world that doesn't have a representation in the higher worlds. So the concept of Yoshar is what we see on our bodies. We have a Rosh, we have a Gvia, and we have a Beten. We have a head, we have a stomach, and we have a lower part of our bodies. We have a right, we have a left, and we have a middle. And so too everything in our lower reality. Or Tzaduk says this, the Maharal says this, all over the place, and that's a Chesaron. There's nothing that is not comprised of three. There's nothing that's not comprised of a beginning, a middle, and an end. A right, a middle, and a left. An inner, a middle, and an external, everything is created on three dimensions. Everything is based on this differentiation of three. And that's based on the Shlosha Kavim, the three, not a Kav of the Kav Ein Sof like we were speaking about, but rays, different lines of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to reveal the Sphiros. And that's really the eights of the Sphiros that we really recognize, right? On the top you have the Keser, and then under the Keser on the right you have Chachma, under the Keser on the left you have Bina. In between the two of them, serving again to recorporate them together and incorporate them together, is the Das, which is again in the middle. Then under the Das on the right you have Chesed, and then on the left you have Gevura, and then under them again serving as a unifying Koach is the Tiferes, which is another representation of the middle line.
Is this all within Adam HaKadmon?
Yeah, but everything that's in Adam Kadmon is also going to be in Atzilus. There's no difference. It's just the lower, like, it's relative, right? Again, there's no difference. There's no changing in the spheros at all. Okay? So, and then under Tiferes, you're going to have Netzach on the right, and you're going to have Hoda on the left. And under them, you're going to have Yesod, and under that, you're going to have Malchus. So basically what we have are the Shlosha Kavin, which is referred to in the Ksavim of the Arizal, which by Rosh Tevos, you call them Cheder, which is Chesed, Din, and Rachamim. The Kav HaYamin, the right side always represents Chesed, the left side always represents Din, and the middle side always represents Rachamim, because Rachamim, in reality, is just the unification of giving when it's giving of Chesed, but only when it's deserved, like we have by Gevura. Gevura is not giving, for very basic concept. Chesed is giving, and Rachamim is giving when it's deserved. It's a combination of the two of them. Everything is based on those three different chunos. Everything is based on the opposing traits of the right and the left, and the unifying trait, like the thesis, the antithesis, and the synthesis, the dialectic of these three interconnecting kolchos, the segel, everything. Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, Kohen Levi Yisrael, Edom Yaruk and Lavan, the three colors of a rainbow, the three colors of an apple, the Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, Mincha, Marav, and Shacharis, everything. Brisa, Gemara, Mishnah, right? The Ramazim to it are unending. But that's what Yoshar was. Those are the Shlosha Kavim. Right? The right side, again, and then with this we'll end, because we're going to really go into it next Chabura. There's Chachma, and underneath it there's Chesed, and underneath it there's Netzach, which is referred to by the Mikbalim as Chachin. That's the Kav HaYamin. Rosh HaTevos Chachin. On the left, there's going to be Bina, then there's Gvura, then there's Hod, which is Rosh HaTevos Baga. And in the middle line, not counting Keser, which we can really go into next week also, there's Das, Tiferes, and Yisod, which is Rosh HaTevos Dati. So you will always hear and read in Kabbalah Shesvarim the concepts of Kav HaYamin meaning Chachin, Kav Asmol meaning Baga, and Kav HaEmsai being Dati. And for now, that's
Emsai is Zachar and Nekeva.
Emsai is... It's there are different parts of the Kav HaEmsai that are nota to the Yamin and that are nota to Smol.
It's a Maharishon that was both man and woman.
Yeah, it's very true. And,
in one body.
No, that's also another Rabbi Nachman said in Sichos around that by him he's at a place where there's no difference. You can end it now. That there's no difference. Yeah, but there's no difference to him between a man and a woman.